Good morning. Today's service is going to be a little bit different because we're going to have some interaction. We're going to have some participation. So that's part of what the puzzle piece is for. So today we're going to talk about two things. One is identity and the other is destiny. So if you think about these two words, they seem related, and they are, but they are distinct. Identity is, who is God calling me to be? Who is he calling me to be? How am I growing in him? And then destiny is, what has God called me to do? What is he wanting me to give my life to? So by considering some images that we're going to show up on the wall, we're going to ask some questions, along with an object lesson, which is the puzzle, and hopefully a short video clip, so we can draw closer to our Father God, and we can draw closer to each other, and we can see how we relate to each other and how we relate to the people who are in the world. So we're going to have on the overhead some images that talk about, that just reflect Father God, the word Father God, the name. And what I want you to do is look at these images, and what I'm asking you to do is just say a word out loud that we can write down on a whiteout board. So we're going to go through the images first, and you have some room on your notes to write down a word that comes to your mind. And then when these five images that we're showing of Father God are over, I want you to be able to just say your word out loud so we can write it on the whiteboard up front. Okay? Is everybody ready for this? Are you game? Okay. So I'm not going to say anything. I want you to be comfortable in the silence of these five images. Okay, so those were the five images that were supposed to provoke some words about the name Father God. So who has a word that they want to share? One second. Heroism. Is that, did I hear that right? Okay. Nurturing. Safe. Say again. Savior, trust, love, assurance, pride, security, teaching, fun, excitement, precious. Needed, accepted, family, caring, helping, secure, father. Okay. So we got these written down. So these are all things we think of when we saw those images, that we can relate to our Father God. Does everyone agree that's what God is? All these things. Yes. Okay, now we're going to examine another image. And it's a certain identity. Then this image is going to provoke some words, these images. And they're not, they're hard images. And the word that we're representing today is orphan. And so I want you to look at these pictures, and I want you to write down some words. Or come up with some words. And then after that, I'll tell you why I picked that word. So why do we want to investigate this image? Why do we want to investigate this word? What are some thoughts that come to you after you saw these images for the word orphan? Starving. Alone. Say, I'm sorry. Suffering. Rejection. Helpless. Slaves. Sad. Abandoned. Broken-hearted. War. Cold. Forsaken. Hopeless. Victimized. Lost. Innocent. Fatherless. Okay. So orphan is an identity that has no sense of belonging, no acceptance into family, but has the highest percentage of self-destructive behaviors, and is one of the biggest populations victimized by social problems like crime, prostitution, child trafficking, illiteracy, malnutrition, child soldiers. The estimated number of children literally living this identity estimates over 130 million. Over. Not even counting those who grew up as orphans. Every 18 seconds, the child is orphaned. Abandoned, rejected, alone, hungry, vulnerable to unspeakable horrors. And so it's the second reason I picked this identity, because it was you. At one time, this was you. Maybe not literally an orphan, but spiritually. You were orphaned. You were alone, and you were helpless to save yourself. But you were redeemed. You were redeemed. You were given a new identity. You're a child of God. You're a son or a daughter of the Most High King. He put you in his family. You belong in the family of God. You belong. The problem is we don't always see this identity. Many times we still see others and ourselves as orphaned. For the last 5 years, I've lived and ministered in Kenya, surrounded by many literal orphans and those who grew up orphaned. And I noticed four commonalities of this mindset. And if you look at your notes, it says, the first one, I noticed when I was working with these children and these moms, there was this always need to be better than, at the expense of making someone feel less than. It's not feeling like they were accepted, so they had to prove their self-worth. The second one was isolation and refusal to cooperate because of feelings of being misunderstood. So deep down, they never felt like they belonged, especially in a family. The third one is I notice that people who have an orphan mindset, they're directed by fear and insecurity, unsure of how to fit, so they feel uncovered or unprotected, like no one's there to protect them. And so they protect their own selves and their own position. And the last one is they're performance-oriented. Some just want to be the best and have to be better than anybody else and do their very best just so they feel like they're accepted. That's what they base their acceptance on. So those were the four commonalities that I saw for the orphan mindset. And on the next page of your notes, there's verses that you can read on your own because they're like chapters that talk about how to overcome that. How we as the body of Christ, who's already been redeemed, you're a child of God, you're a child of the King. These verses tell you that. These verses tell you how to live. So in looking at all this, not only do we have a literal global orphan pandemic that's intertwined in so many other overwhelming issues that the church should be responding to, we also have an identity pandemic. The question begs to be asked, how can we fix this? How can we fix this? How can we live like we're children of God with that identity that He's given us, that we see referenced in these names of God the Father? And leave behind those names that are associated with the orphan spirit. How can we do that? I want you guys to take out your puzzle piece. Because we all have a unique piece to play in the solution. That's why you have a puzzle piece today. In fact, you are an irreplaceable, distinctive piece in the puzzle of life. You're here for a purpose. Your piece fits with others, and others fit with others. And we enlarge the body of Christ exponentially by everyone playing their piece. So we want to act that out today. We want you to think for a minute by looking at your puzzle piece. Who did God make you to be? Who did God make you to be? He didn't make you to be independent and isolated. He didn't make you to be performance-based. He didn't make you to move in insecurity or fear. He made you to fit well with one another. And the distinctive way He made you will be different than the other person, but it'll fit. So I'm going to give some directions because we're going to act this out with this puzzle now. There's a couple of things we want to talk about, we want to point out. One is, we're doing something abnormal for a Sunday morning. And how do you feel about that? Does it shake you up or does it make you uncomfortable? Would you wish you hadn't come to this church this morning because it's not the routine? So you need to ask yourself, why are you feeling that? Second, I was told that there were a lot of people who were like, I'm not taking a puzzle. I don't want a puzzle piece. I don't like, And like, why did you do that? Ask yourself, why did I not want a puzzle piece? And when you got a puzzle piece and you were confused about it, was that okay? Was it okay to be confused about having a piece of puzzle that you didn't know what you were going to do with? So we have all these people here today from different walks of life, different experiences, different callings, different talents, different personalities, different characters, different places on their journey. And we're all working together on this puzzle, putting our pieces together to try to make something that looks like a reflection of something. And it's taking what? Cooperation, patience, deferring to somebody else, losing a little bit of control. Being comfortable in the lag of the service. It's like life. Life isn't always epic, but we long for the epic. We spend many moments of our life planning for the next epic. That we become uncomfortable in just seeing God in the regular every day. So as we're watching this puzzle come together, I want you to notice that there's a primary step that's going to be revealed in this puzzle to help us reclaim our identity and embrace our destiny. Can you read the word that's hidden in the puzzle? I'll give you a hint, it's Latin. Thank you. enough of it is put together that we're going to start moving forward with the service, because I know everyone likes to get out of here by noon. We'll keep some things like normal. So yeah, Christine, go ahead, stand up and say it. Imagio Dei. It means in the image of God. That every human being is made in the image of God, having unique and intrinsic worth. If we were living Imagio Dei, that's a foundational step in fixing the problems that we saw in those images of the orphan. It's the first foundational step in changing how we view the world, how we view each other, how we view ourselves. We were made in the image of God. Each of us have intrinsic worth and value. The person next to you, look at them. They have intrinsic worth and value. The people outside this doors of this church have intrinsic worth and value. People in other nations who look different, who dress different, they have intrinsic value to God. So we're certainly not saying that we believe in this universal new age that all paths lead to God, or that you are God. No. But we are saying what the Bible says. If we start treating one another as though you were made in the image of God, we're saying what the Bible says. We're saying love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true sons of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go and buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. So don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. It's God's kindness and tolerance and patience that leads to repentance. In Romans 2, 3, and 4. Treat people with dignity and respect. In 1 Peter 2:17, and honorably serve the least among you. In Matthew 25, 42 to 45. Always remember those people that are around you in your life. Those people that you see on the news. Those people that you read about in magazines or the newspaper. They were made in the image of God, and he loves them. So imagine if we really lived these verses, like really lived these verses, and didn't find excuses not to disciple, like we heard about in communion. If we really lived these verses, and the church was the example. Think of it. Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. How would your peace do that? How would the peace that God's put in you for this puzzle of life do that? Inquiring of God how to live the greatest commandment. How I'm going to live it is going to be different than how Sharon DeBoer is going to live it. It's going to be different than how Mark Thompson lives it. It's going to be different. But it's going to have that single piece there that we're going to treat people as though they're the image bearers of God. We're not going to call names. Inquiring of the Father how to live this greatest commandment equals living our destiny, living our identity. We will be a refuge then, a safe haven for the orphaned, for the abandoned, for the neglected, for the abused, for the lost, to help them understand their identity and their destiny, not to make them dependent on us, but to lift them up and help them figure out who are they and who did God make them to be? And what piece of the puzzle do they add? Because it's not complete with just us. We don't have it all. If we reflect on who we are becoming, we won't be confused about what we're doing. So in closing, we have a short video clip. Remember that game we played as kids? Rock, paper, scissors? Remember that? Does anybody remember it? Okay, great. So, scissors does what? Cuts the paper. And the rock smashes the scissors. That's a lot like our world today. That simple game. It's a lot like our country today. But imagine, imagio Dei, treating each other as though we were made in the image of God, is a foundation. It's a place where we can meet people who don't know the Lord and help them find that place where they can touch us and let us share his love and his good news that Jesus redeems them from an orphan spirit. And if you're here today and you feel that heaviness, that aloneness, that rejection, that abandonment, if you're feeling those things and you notice that you're treating people like you don't like them, like they're less than you, or that you need to be better than them, we just want to pray today. We want to pray for you. We want to pray that you'll realize your identity, that your identity is in Jesus Christ, who came to this earth in the form of a man so that he could fellowship with you and know you and take on the punishment for all the stuff that we did wrong by dying on the cross, by sacrificing his life for us so that we can live the life God intends. If that's you today and you want to say, I'm done having an orphan spirit. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to feel this rejection. I want to see the image of God manifest in me. I want to help see the image of God manifested in other people. If that's you today, come up front and get some prayer from the encouragement team. We have a team of people that will pray with you. That team can come up front now.